In Acts 11, 1 through 18, one of the scriptures in last week's lectionary, God speaks to Peter through a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven. Specifically, Peter relates that he was praying in a trance and saw a vision. In today's scripture, Paul, like Peter, is called by a vision to a new place. Just prior to today's reading, Luke says they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Then, verse 9 says that during the night, Paul had a vision where he sees a man from Macedonia pleading with him to come and help them. Before we talk about the content of the vision, let's consider the idea of a vision to begin with. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in many ways. Protestants generally believe that God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to us first and foremost through the Word, Scripture. We know that Jesus Christ is the primary form of the Word of God, the Word made flesh. And secondary only to Jesus Christ is the Word revealed to us through the Scriptures. These Scriptures, which we call the Bible, were revealed by the Holy Spirit to the writers and are revealed by the Holy Spirit to us, the readers. How we read those scriptures and how we apply those scriptures to our daily lives is a prayerful practice. We look to the Holy Spirit to tell us what we should do. This discernment practice is a practice done in community, because we believe that God primarily speaks to us in community, in the community of believers. No one of us has a perfect handle on God's revelation. In the history of the church, there's a third wheel of revelation, which is often called tradition. Now, sometimes we equate tradition with a "that's the way we've always done it" mentality, which can be a hindrance to new ideas and vitality in a church. Looking to the wisdom of the past, though, is not a bad thing, as long as it does not squelch consideration of new ideas. One supporting concept of this third wheel of the holy tricycle is apostolic succession, symbolized by the laying on of hands. The apostles are particularly revered as teachers and writers of New Testament books because they were chosen by and learned at the feet of Jesus. They, in turn, had their own disciples who received the good news taught by Jesus, and so on through the years in the church. Furthermore, we believe that God is interested in our daily lives. We believe God has a plan for us, as God did for the personalities we read about in Scripture. We see stories in Scripture of God taking an active part in guiding the church. Paul saw a blinding light on the road to Damascus, which led him to a new life. Peter saw a sheet coming down from heaven, which caused him to radically alter his belief in the application of holiness rules and with whom he should associate. Again, we read today of Paul seeing a man from Macedonia. What are we to do with all these supernatural occurrences? How do we interpret these and other stories of messages coming in dreams as we read the Bible? As Americans, in a very technological society, we tend to view such occurrences with skepticism. At the very best, we might call the writings colorful attempts to convey the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. However, it is wrong and even arrogant of us to superimpose our worldview on the views of others. In one commentary on the book of Acts, the authors write this: "Mainstream U.S. culture frowns on and even denies the human capacity for visions, trances, and experiences of alternate realities. We are very curious about non-rational dimensions of human existence, but tend to label all such occurrences as irrational. One study found that in a sample of 488 societies in all parts of the world, at various levels of technological complexity, 90% of those societies evidence alternate states of consciousness. Societies which do not utilize these states clearly are historical exceptions, which need to be explained rather than the vast majority of societies that do not use these states. Thus, it would be quite anachronistic and ethnocentric to take our technologically obsessed society as normative for judging anyone other than ourselves." End quote. In other words, we are a small minority in a small minority of cultures that do not credit alternate states of consciousness like dreams, trances, and visions. It is just such an attitude against supernatural occurrences which has been exploited by a group that calls themselves the New Atheists. Their basic presupposition is there's no such thing as the supernatural. The corollary to this rule is that everything has a natural explanation. With these two presuppositions in place, it's not hard to see that the result is a belief that there is no God. After all, what is God but supernatural? We state clearly that we believe God is the creator of all things natural, therefore above the natural, that is, supernatural. One of the doctrines of the church is that God created the world ex nihilo, which is Latin for out of nothing. Therefore, as believers in God, as faithful Christians, we begin with the belief in the supernatural, that is, in a power that is greater than the natural world. As such, the question becomes, is God speaking to me or to us through this event that I'm perceiving? Is God speaking to me through this person from Macedonia, this face of another, as French philosopher Immanuel Levinas is famous for saying? Is God speaking to me in this dream? Is God speaking to me in this vision? I believe it's helpful to reframe this question. Can God speak to us through a dream? can God speak to us through a trance? Can God speak to us through a person from a different part of the world, through the face of another? By reframing the question in terms of can God, we who believe in the sovereignty of God, that is, the overarching power of God, find it easy to say, yes, God can. The next question is, does God speak to us this way? If we take Scripture seriously, God certainly did speak to Peter and Paul this way. So does God speak to us this way today? I believe yes, if we open ourselves up to hear God in these ways. Now, like anything, we have to approach this area with caution. It has been said that any heresy begins with a grain of truth. The fact that God can and does speak to us can be manipulated, misunderstood, misused. Cult leaders such as Charles Manson, David Koresh, and Jim Jones claim to hear the voice of God telling them to do things. Drug-induced altered states of consciousness have caused people to do terrible things that they believe God was telling them to do. Obviously, we have to carefully discern God's presence in what we're hearing. As we discussed last week in Acts 11, we hear Peter question God about the vision he was seeing. Peter held the vision up to his understanding of Scripture and questioned that he was being told to do something he saw as non-scriptural, a commendable practice. It was not until he saw the unmistakable working of God's Holy Spirit in Gentiles that he was truly convinced. Author and theologian Richard Rohr talks about the three wheels of faith and spiritual growth as follows. No matter the religion or denomination in which we are raised, our spirituality still comes through the first filter of our own life experience. We must begin to be honest about this instead of pretending that any of us are formed exclusively by Scripture or our churches or our religious tradition. There's no such thing as an entirely unbiased position. The best we can do is own and be honest about our own filters. God allows and invites us to trust our own experience. Then, Scripture and tradition hopefully keep our personal experiences both critical and compassionate. These three components, Scripture, tradition, and experience, make up the three wheels of what we at the Center for Action and Contemplation call the learning tricycle of spiritual growth, end quote. In today's scripture, Paul's version is of a man. The man is a man from a new region for the Christian message. The message was first taken to Judea, where Jesus and the first disciples lived. The message was then taken to the adjacent countries in Asia, which we refer to today as Asia Minor and Turkey. The vision of a man from Macedonia was significant because Macedonia was in what we today consider to be part of northern Greece, a part of Europe. The message from God was to expand into Europe. A significant aspect of this scripture is that the group was involved in the discernment. While Paul saw the vision, the group, guided by the Holy Spirit, determined and were convinced that God was calling them to go to Macedonia. The group was not blindly following Paul, but was involved in the discernment process. The process of prayerfully considering the will of God in the circumstances. This is also part of Presbyterian polity, or form of government. As Presbyterians, we do not blindly follow any leader, but we discern together. That's why we elect ruling elders or presbyters, who together with teaching elders prayerfully consider the direction of the church. That discernment is not always unanimous, and that's okay. Because as we read in Acts, not even the apostles always agreed. Apparently, the group did agree to go to Macedonia based on Paul's vision. Interestingly, even though the vision is of a man, the group meets Lydia, who becomes the first European convert and a key leader in the church. It was to the church formed by this meeting that Paul wrote the book of Philippians. In summary, we need to be ready to listen to God in many forms. God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. We need to be ready to listen to God through the example of Jesus Christ in Scripture. We need to be ready to listen to God through the Holy Spirit, who comes to us in many forms. We draw upon the traditions we've been taught. We may feel a gentle nudge in our soul. We may see the Spirit's call in the face of another, like the man from Macedonia. We may find the Spirit moving across the waters in a place of prayer, like Lydia did. God will speak to us through the Holy Spirit in ways we can only imagine if we but listen for God's still small voice. Amen. Having heard the word of God, read some.